Final speaker is Holly Howard, who's going to talk to us about the InTouch study, successful strategies for increasing patient return rates for chlamydia and gonorrhea retesting. Holly.
Good afternoon. All right, you already said that. So as background to this study, we know that reinfections with chlamydia and gonorrhea are very common and that they're associated with an increased risk for adverse reproductive health outcomes in women, specifically much higher rates of pelvic inflammatory disease and ectopic pregnancy. Retesting women a few months after treatment for their initial infections can help to detect reinfections early, reducing the risk of developing these dangerous complications. And for these reasons, for the past decade, CDC has recommended retesting, and current guidelines state that retesting should occur approximately 3 months post-treatment and that it should be a priority for providers. Yet, in spite of the evidence and the recommendations, retesting rates remain very low in most clinical settings across the country. So these are retesting rates in the years leading up to a study among a subset of female clients in Family Pact, which is California's family planning entitlement program. It provides free comprehensive reproductive health services, including STD services, to about 2 million low-income patients annually. And you can see that flat line. There's been very little change in retesting over time. So why are retesting rates low? In this sample of female Family Pact chlamydia-positive patients, we see that only 43% were retested. But from this single data point, we can't tell what's contributing to this low rate, and we don't know where the points of intervention may be. However, if we break this rate down, we see that only 62% of those patients had returned to the clinic during their target retest window, and only 69% of those who returned were then retested by their clinic. So patients are not returning, and clinics are not retesting them if they do return. Based on these findings, we designed the InTouch study to target interventions to both the patient and the clinic factors contributing to low retesting rates. In past talks, I've focused on the study interventions to close the gap on the clinic side. Today, I'm going to focus on the interventions we evaluated to increase the number of patients who return to the clinic during their target retest window. So there are a number of contributing factors at the patient level that might make it less likely that they'll return for their retest. Patients may not understand the dangers of reinfection and the role retesting plays in reducing negative health consequences, and a few months after finishing their treatment, they might not remember to return to the clinic for retest. And even if patients understand and remember, a subset may have access barriers that make getting back to the clinic more challenging. So we hypothesized that interventions targeted to these three factors were needed to effectively address low clinic return rates. The InTouch study was funded through a Title X service delivery improvement grant from the Office of Population Affairs. The primary research objective was to compare the effectiveness of two different layers of interventions in improving retesting among female family planning patients. The first layer introduced a multi-pronged set of clinic-side enhancements to tackle various factors contributing to low retesting rates, including both clinic and patient-side factors. These interventions were carried out throughout the entire study and included enhancements to patient education. About halfway through the intervention period, we formally enrolled patients into the study and offered them two new options: the option to receive a retest reminder and the option to retest at home using a home test kit. So the first part of the intervention period, with only the clinic side interventions, including the enhanced patient education, is what we call our study phase one. And the second period, where we added the options, is our study phase two. And today I'll be talking about results from both phases. So the study was designed as a cohort study, and the primary outcome for today is the patient's 1 to 6 month post-treatment clinic return rate. And I'll also show how this rate contributed to the changes in the overall retesting rate, which was, of course, the primary objective of the study. We included historical pre-intervention data from 2008 until the study launch, and the intervention phases ran back-to-back from 2010 through early 2013. The study population was made up of unique female family-packed patients age 16 or older who spoke English or Spanish, were not pregnant or diagnosed with PID, and who were treated for chlamydia or gonorrhea at one of our study clinics. And our study clinics were 6 geographically diverse Title X family planning clinics, which were part of 2 really large Planned Parenthood agencies in California. From these agencies, we received lab and clinical encounter data for the entire agencies, and we also had data from patient questionnaires that we gathered as part of study enrollment. Patients were assigned to the dates, were assigned by the dates of their treatment into our historical phase 1 or phase 2 cohorts, and our phase 2 cohort was additionally limited to patients who agreed to enroll in the study. So our interventions. To improve patient return rates in phase 1, we focus on patient education. For our first intervention, we train clinic staff to provide short but comprehensive counseling sessions at patient treatment visits to help them understand better why retesting was important, including information about the dangers of and their high risk for reinfection. Staff also encourage patients to think about how they might remember to get themselves retested in a few months. Next, we revised the agency's existing chlamydia and gonorrhea fact sheets that they were providing to positive patients, reinforcing the retesting messages and improving the readability and user-friendliness of the forms. In phase 2, we developed some new patient education materials, including retesting flip cards. The new retesting education messages were also reinforced on these cards, and there was a place on the back where staff could write in the target retest date for the patient. During phase 2, we consented and enrolled patients into the study and offered them 2 options to customize their care. And the first was the option to receive a retest reminder via postcard, text, and or email. All of the reminders were very discreet, and patients could choose any combination in English or in Spanish, or they could choose none. And this is a screenshot showing the intouchforhealth.org website interface, which we designed and allowed clinic staff to sign up patients to receive their automated text and email reminders. The system sent the patients their first reminder 2.5 months after their treatment date, and then sent a repeat message once per week for 5 weeks. And the second special option for patients was the option to retest at home using a self-collected vaginal swab home testing kit that was mailed to them 3 months after their treatment date, in which they could just drop in the mailbox to send directly to the lab. So looking specifically first at our enrolled intervention phase 2, we had very high recruitment and enrollment rates, with 94% of recruited patients agreeing to enroll in the study. This slide shows the high percentage of enrolled patients who opted to receive a retest reminder. Choosing this option was not a requirement of study participation. However, 90% opted to receive a reminder of one type or another, with the vast majority requesting text or email reminders. In contrast, only 5% of patients chose the home testing option for their retest. And when we look at the percentage of patients who opted for the home test by age, you can see that younger patients were much less likely. Perhaps that's a factor of privacy concerns for patients still living with their parents. I find this slide more interesting. This slide shows patients who reported that certain clinic access barriers were a serious problem for them, the pink bars, and these, you could see that those folks were more likely to choose the home testing option. So overall, there were 4,725 patients in the study, including the historical period. And here are our final results for the comparison analysis. So before the intervention, 54% of patients were returning to these clinics 1 to 6 months after their treatment. At the end of the first study phase, with just the enhanced education, we saw a moderate but statistically significant increase to 59%. And at the end of the second phase, where we added the reminder and home testing options, this increased to 62%. So we were able to successfully improve our patient return rates overall from 54 to 62% by the end of the study. And I didn't talk about this today, but our other interventions also were able to close our clinic side gap. And this is our clinic's retesting rates among the patients who returned. And that increased significantly from a historical 82%, which was already quite high, to 93% at the end of the study. And these 2 rates multiply together to give us our overall retesting rate, the improvement of which was the ultimate goal of the study. Overall, the study interventions together increased retesting from 44% to just shy of 60% in our study clinics. So with a very moderate increase in patient return rates and in clinic retesting rates among returning patients, you can see that we cumulatively increased our overall retesting rates by more than 30%, which, given the flat line we've been experiencing in retesting rates in our family planning setting, if you remember that earlier slide, was an exciting result. So as always, there are limitations to our findings. Possible underestimates of return and retesting rates could result from missing clinic encounter data, or if patients return to a clinic outside of our agencies. And, of course, results might not be generalizable to all study clinic populations. And there are a few take-home points from our study findings. The first is that enhancing patient education and offering patients some customizable options like retest reminders had both individual and cumulative effects on improving patient return rates, and overall we're able to increase these rates by 15% with these interventions. Next, patients really want retest reminders, and they strongly prefer them via text and email. And finally, improving overall retesting rates is dependent on addressing both patient and clinic level causes. Through a combination of these very feasible interventions, we were able to increase overall retesting rates by 32% in our study. And finally, one really fantastic sideline success story from the study was our ability to use our data to advocate to the National Campaign to Prevent Teen and Unplanned Pregnancies bedsider.org team and convince them to add chlamydia and gonorrhea retest reminders to their new provider portal, which was previously dedicated to just birth control and appointment reminders. And as a result, this intervention is now available nationwide to all clinical providers, allowing them to offer these reminders at no cost to themselves or their patients. Go bedsider. As always, good work takes a village, and we are very grateful to have collaborated on the study with outstanding partners who are listed here. And I have samples of the flip cards and postcards and the fact sheets. If anyone wants them, I have a handful of them up here.